It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Blindly Obvious, it's clear as can.
The Blindly Obvious podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. All views expressed on this show do not constitute professional advice. We make no representation or warranties regarding the accuracy, completeness, or applicability of the content we express. These are merely our opinions, and as such, we encourage everyone to form your own opinions.
All right, now how about from happy endings, how about we get into the more negative side of, you know, if the story doesn't turn out as good?
Oh gosh, man. You and I are aware of the puppet show, so it's not that we can't still be deceived. It's that we are inclined to not to trust our eyes or our ears or the news.
I've never trusted my eyes.
Or the authorities. Whereas for the older population, their struggle is there was actually a time when people were genuinely honest, and the news did report that. The news. I don't think that it was always as corrupted as it is today. Like, they're, can you say it's a government owned? It's not just privately owned, but it's government owned. I mean, they're.
I just think we're coming to a collision point of a compilation of decades of lies. So I think in the beginning, it wasn't near as obvious to see because it was maybe just a small lie at the time, right?
Yeah, like little manipulative lies.
Then it had to get bigger to cover up that. And then it had to get bigger to cover up that. And then it just spiraled out of control to where now it's like, what actually was true?
Well, people had a conscience 50 years ago where, you know, they might steal from you, but they weren't trying to kill you.
Oh, well, that's good at least.
You know, but now it's like, well, I still want to steal from you, and if I have to kill you, I'll do that too.
That's what it takes to do it.
I think that's where it's kind of flipped over.
There is that phrase, by any means necessary.
Yeah. So that's, I don't know, man. I'm trying not to be jaded, but I'm mad.
Bro, you're always jaded.
I am, dude. I am. Because I know the world's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to understand, as a pastor, I live in the arena of always trying to bring things into a balance of putting things under the lordship of Jesus. And in my little microcosm, I get to somewhat influence, not control, but influence that a little. And to be in this situation where, as a nation, we lead people to believe that we're a nation under God. You know, what's on our every dollar bill and every coin, in God we trust, but the God that we trust in as a nation really isn't the one that I serve. And it's just hard, man. I think I'm to the place where I'm not so sure that openly we have people in our government who serve the God of this world, not the God who made it.
I think that many would actually just tell you that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, when you
I don't
openly,
think it's a secret by any stretch. Well,
when they openly put Baphomet statues and pray to Satan in some of their meetings, and I mean, that's on mainstream news, been reported in Florida. Sure. You know, is it every single place? No.
Now, how much of that also, though, like, not saying it isn't happening and genuine, but how much of it also is once again, a movement to press the buttons of people that they know are not going to like it?
No, sure. I think there's always a sensational aspect, just trying to get a reaction or trying to manipulate the sides. I get all that. I'm just saying that for me, as a father, as a husband, as a pastor, as a Christian, as a person trying to, as far as it depends upon me, pray the prayer and live it out loud. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To see people who will stand next to me and say the same prayer do all they can to impose their own will instead of God's. It's just so frustrating.
Aren't we kind of told that's what's going to happen?
Yeah. I just, absolutely. No. I mean, I know I got issues. I know. I'm just being honest. I'm just.
Yeah, no, I got you. I'm just saying. What?
Yeah, you can beat it. I'm easy to pick on right now.
You can't say you're surprised.
I'm not surprised. I'm mad.
All right.
I'm just mad.
So you're mad. You need a hug.
No, I ain't going to help me.
Then I'll feel a big bear hug.
Then I'll feel constrained.
Well,
I'll feel confined.
I'll hug you soft.
I'll have a panic attack. Do you ever feel like that, though? We're just. not in the rat race for money, but
I mean, you are ultimately.
Yeah.
Now you're in less of a rat race for money because you don't prioritize it as much, but you still are in a rat race for money because you need currency to survive.
Well, I mean, not even just forget money. I think there's multiple wheels. There's the one where you're chasing entertainment. There's one that you're chasing, you know, to get your needs met. There's one you're chasing to find fulfillment.
But people get lost in the illusion that money spins all of those wheels, because to some extent it does. You can falsify feeling, pleasure, gratification if you have money to make it happen.
I get that.
So the less money you have, the less ability or resource you have to spin all of those other wheels, but for actually working to spin them.
I'm just saying it's amazing what we waste our life chasing.
Oh, sure.
And I don't care who you are. I think that we all fall in that trap.
Think about this. People have been convinced to take their children 8 hours a day to a daycare facility and then go work a job to pay for the daycare facility.
Yeah.
Think about how many people just work a job to pay for daycare, and then like their spouse's job pays for the other family expenses.
But that one person could stay home.
Well, why would you not? It doesn't make any sense. Why would you go work and then you're pulled away from your children and your home? So then you could be home all day with your children and tending to your home. On top of now you work this job, you're away from your children, you go home and still have to do all the tasks that need done at home.
Here's a sick twist on that.
That's crazy, man.
Maybe you hate your life so much you just want to get out of your house. Can you imagine? There are people that miserable.
Sure, that's going on, but yeah. I don't.
Or do you think they're just so ignorant that they don't realize what they're throwing away?
I think we just get caught up in this allure of, well, that's what everybody's doing. I got to do it. And now maybe the job that pays for daycare doesn't just pay for daycare. Maybe it pays for daycare and...
Well, when you factor the meals, when you factor gas, when you factor insurance, all the things you're having to pay to...
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there comes a break-even point. I know that firsthand because we went through that with our raising our boys.
And you're just like, man.
It doesn't make sense for you to go get a job and make part-time $15,000, $20,000 and then spend the same amount or more to put them in a daycare.
Right. Yeah. And then, like I said, and then still have all the other tasks on top of that because no one's at home.
We even drew a line where it was like, okay, so you work an 8-hour day making, breaking even, and then you come home dog dead tired.
Mm-hmm.
And so the house is a mess. No one's made dinner. So now we have to eat out.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we got to hire a cleaning lady to come, or a cleaning man to come take care of the house because we want to take a nap.
Well, then we get to spend how much time a day with our kids? Next to none, right? I mean, you've got, oh, we get up. All right, well, let's get up, get dressed, rush off. And then we get home and then let's have dinner. And maybe you have a practice of some type of a thing you're in, whether it be a sport or an instrument or whatever it may be.
Happy life, okay. Live and strife.
Then you do that. Boom, you're done. And then you come home and then maybe we get some dinner on the go, like you said, or maybe somebody cooks it. And then like, okay, now let's sit down for 5 minutes and then everybody rush off to bed and do it again tomorrow. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy that people have been convinced of that.
Well, yeah. And I've bought into it at some point.
Everybody has. Yeah, I mean, we all have bought in. That's what I'm saying. We've all been convinced of
that. But you kind of wake up at some point and go, what the heck?
Are we ignorant or are we just like, man, I've been duped?
Well, it keeps the economy rolling. You know what I mean? Like the machine. It feeds the machine.
Feeds the beast.
And I guess we're the ones pumping the quarters in there. And the machine.
Well, of course, the beast is fed by us.
Yeah.
We feed it. And somewhat it feeds us.
I can think back when I was a kid. I think I've told this story before, but a scam that I got nailed on was when I was little. And I'm talking, you know, somewhere between 4 and 6. We would go to a bowling alley. It was a church bowling alley. You know, my parents would go and so we're sitting there and they had those giant slot machines. I don't even know if they still have this stuff. And in there they had gum, cigarettes to, you name it, bottle openers. And I saw it, man. I was like, I can't believe this. For $1, I can buy luck. And they had They had a whole bunch of these beautiful, different color, blue and pink and purple lucky rabbit's foots. You know, it's a lucky rabbit foot. And I was like, for a dollar, I can buy luck? Man, I went around begging strangers for a quarter. And I did. And I finally got a dollar. I convinced enough people at church to give me a dollar.
All right.
And I bought this foot. And I was so proud of myself. I go home and I show my dad, Dad, I've got luck now. I bought it for a dollar.
What color did you get?
That's blue.
Nice blue one. All
yeah. Right. I think I even lost my lucky rabbit's foot. I had to buy another one, but that's a whole other story. But and my dad said, so you think that foot gives you luck? And I said, yeah, it says it's a lucky rabbit's foot. And he said, well, how many did the rabbit have?
Hmm.
And I thought about it and I went, four. And he went, well, how lucky was he?
Eve. Not very.
Not very. I got scammed, dude. That was one of those that once you unpack that, and my dad was brilliant. You know, he didn't give me the answers. He asked the questions and made me think about it. And
sure.
Like, man. I remember the other scam I got as a kid, the ones that just stood out to me that kind of taught me all about the world. It was this machine that it had at fairs, and you would feed it quarters, and it would fall in this top rack, and this little push bar would push your quarter out. And right there on the edge were all these quarters just waiting to fall off. And you knew just one quarter, there's not room for one more quarter there. And if it drops in there, it's going to push those quarters. They're all going to fall off.
But it never does.
Never for me. I put $10 in quarters in that bad boy.
You're looking at it. It's actually all your quarters across the row.
I mean, every once in a while, you might get one or two. And you're like, oh, it's about to happen. The avalanche of quarters is about to happen. Nope.
I think, isn't that kind of the enticement though? We've talked about this before, but the carrot and the stick, and it's like that dangling carrot in front of you of the what if of like when you're a kid, obviously you're talking about quarters, but how about this when you get a little bigger? The Publisher's Clearinghouse. You remember those commercials on TV?
Oh, absolutely.
The dude would come knock on your door and he would say, oh, you just want a check for $5,000 a week for life.
Yeah.
Well, you're dude, set. Awesome. Yeah. How good does that sound? But everybody else that signed up besides that one lucky guy on the commercial just got 200 emails a day for life.
Yeah, well, not only that, wasn't there a thing with that whole pyramid scam scheme? You could actually do certain things, give certain money to increase your odds.
Oh.
Yeah, wasn't that whole program?
No, I really didn't know that, but that wouldn't surprise me. So you could like maybe buy entries or something to that effect?
There was something. I can't remember if it was, I forget what it was, but it increased your odds.
Or maybe buy product and it would give you more entries.
Yeah. And you know, I guess the whole thing is what we're talking about is something that we never really outgrow. We want something for nothing. We want maximum return with minimal investment.
We do.
You know, and I guess that's why we fall for the pyramid schemes.
Well, isn't that the idea of socialism? Is that
something
everyone,
for nothing?
Everyone shares in what someone else worked hard for no reason.
Something for nothing. And,
I'm not guilty of the same thing.
Oh,
saying like, I think we've all been convinced to adopt that mindset when like the mindset that actually built the country was the exact opposite. Like we have these dudes who are wealthy and they say, we'll give everything. And then you have us who's like, well, yeah, who's going to give me something?
I guess that is socialism really is, in those words, someone who does nothing still gets something. And when you have enough people doing that, doing nothing to get something, eventually everyone has nothing.
Sure. And I'm not saying clearly there are still... The majority of people are still out here working, right? I'm not saying people are literally doing nothing as a majority and expecting something. But I do think we are, most all of us are guilty of wanting to do as little as we can and get as much as we can in return.
Yeah, well,
I'm 100% guilty of that.
That's what we call it's an entitlement. Like it's a right to have water. It's a right to have health insurance. It's a right to have housing. Whatever you want to say, that's what we're being led to believe and to think. Someone's got to provide that, and the someone's going to be the government. And when you stop thinking at that point that all logic's out the window, you just say the government has magic money and they can just generate revenue and money.
Sure.
And and you don't think about taxation. It's like, oh yeah, but yeah, we have become a socialist on our way to communist country.
Well, and ultimately the reason this, we'll call it a pyramid scheme, eventually falls apart is because as people begin to realize it, they slowly start to pull off of the contribution side of the pyramid because they realize, well, what's the point? Why would I be doing this and getting the same thing that this person over here is getting when they're doing half as much? So I'll do half as much and get the same thing.
I'll tell you a wild one. I don't think most people think about it, but our dollar is a pyramid scheme.
Sure.
You know, but you got to do some digging on that. But every dollar that's printed, it prints us further in debt.
Well, and how about this that we've been duped into? We think right now we're making more money than we ever have, when in reality, it just takes more money than ever to buy something.
So we're going to tax the rich. We're going to tax the rich. Who are the rich? Anyone making, and they're going to say an amount. And let's just say it's $250,000. It won't be long with inflation that a person working at McDonald's is probably making $250 a year.
So $250 would be, like you're saying, $250 is going to be
$250,000.
Right. And I mean, you've seen it over and over again, like Venezuela.
I remember when $1 million, if you had $1 million.
That was it. You were it.
You were loaded. Not anymore.
No one cares.
If you had $1 million in your retirement fund and you're going to live 20 years, you don't have enough.
It's insane.
Think about it. It's like, what the heck? No, but yeah, pyramid scheme. There was a time because prices were going down and because of interest, you could literally put your money in the bank and come out ahead. Not anymore. You put your money in the bank and savings and you're not even keeping up with inflation.
Well, what convinced you to really trust in the banks again? Remember, there is a generation of people who aren't entirely off the earth yet that used to hide money in walls, refrigerators,
mattresses,
and barns.
And picture frames.
I mean, anywhere,
yeah.
Right? Anywhere they thought was, this is secure and no one else knows where it is but me.
Right.
I mean, there's even as far as, I know a guy who, I think it was his great-grandpa, passed away and had given his grandpa was also passed away, so it went to his dad at this point, had given like this plans of a diagram of in their house, you had to go downstairs and like remove this concrete piece of floor in the basement. And this dude had like all these gold coins and silver bars and like, but it was you would never know that unless it was, you know, the info was left to you. But I say that to say there is a generation of people who absolutely did not trust the banks due to the financial crisis in the 1930s, right? So after that, they needed to convince people, well, you got to be able to trust the banks, right? Well, like, what? How do you do that? What'd you just say? There was a time when you could keep your money in the bank and earn great interest on it. Until everybody put their money in the bank and started earning interest on it.
Whether it's the banks, the governments. I mean, listen, the ones, our founders didn't trust the government. It was a necessary evil. And I guess the whole point in all this is this, you know, it's misplaced trust. You know, as long as you put your trust in men, you're going to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's not a single person on this earth breathing who's not sinful and potentially corruptible. Whether they're intentionally scamming you or themselves being deceived into scamming you by somebody else pulling their strings, mm-hmm. The likelihood that you're not yourself involved in somebody else's ploy to take your stuff is next to impossible.
And that's the thing. Just because you're being duped, it doesn't mean that in the ways in which you're being duped, the person even knows they're duping you.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you're corrupt.
That's such a crazy concept.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the business owner taking advantage of you may themselves be being duped with you. Like, you're double duped, you know? The business is duped, as well as the customer buying from the business who was duped. Everybody's duped, except for the people at the top of the pyramid.
I mean, okay, do you think the person handing you a bag of food at the fast food location is thinking about your health consequences of eating the food they're handing you?
No, they're just thinking about profit.
But if you're caring about the food that they're handing you, you start going, huh, I don't know if I should maybe eat this 3 or 4 days a week. They are partaking in that, but not necessarily knowingly.
Socialism, in the end, when it does finally crash, it leaves all the property, all the goods in the control of a handful of people because you've had to sell off everything, take everything.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like this. It sounds like you'll own nothing and you'll be happy.
That's exactly right.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. But it sounds good all the way up until it crashes because you're getting some kind of a kickback from previous generations.
Yep. You're either getting that kickback, which is just enough to keep you going, or you're above the level of concern, meaning that you're making enough money, you don't yet see the impact because it doesn't really bother you. Your life's still pretty good. You can kind of still go about, do what you want. It hasn't yet reached that point of, like I said, like you said, where it hits the end and all of a sudden it spirals out of control, right?
Like Social Security. You know, it's a good illustration. People are still contributing into this dead, dying program because they believe still the promise that they're going to get a return one day.
Even though, like, the experts will say, have said multiple times, like, by this year, this is going to run out. Not literally this year, but, like, by an X date.
Right, right.
This is going to run out. Now,
short of an intervention, yeah.
Sure. And I mean, okay, you could push back and say, of course, like, yeah, that's fear tactics to push more money over that direction. Sure. Also, how many dead people or illegal people to the system, how many of those are on that system as well? I'm sure it's millions of dollars. I wouldn't disagree with that. The matter of fact is there's just more people now taking from it than are paying into it. It's going to run out.
It was a scheme. It was a pyramid scheme. And that's the worst part. Is that,
and the scary thing is it's called Social Security.
Yeah. Yeah, we got scammed. That's the hardest part, I think, for an American to accept is that in our own system that we love so much, the freest nation in the world, the best nation in the entire world, we are still ourselves being duped and are unknowing participants in the scam.
I think Americans are duped because I genuinely believe Americans as a majority are good-hearted and helpful people.
I think so.
I really do.
Yeah.
I think in times of need, in times of crisis, does that mean everybody gets it right every day?
No.
Heck no. But I'm telling you, man, when people need to come together or you just, there's always just those moments you're like, oh, people do still care. There's still humanity. We just need more of it.
I think that's why we've made it 249 years.
Amen.
You know, I think that there's, for all of our faults and flaws, there's still enough remembrance of what this nation was and what it can be. And even the most selfish person, I think, still says, I can give a little here. I can do this. I can do that. Mm. Even the narcissist out of self-preservation will do something for others. I mean, think about it. I mean,
yeah, you're right.
No, I do. I think that there's still that hope, a little glimmer of light, sparkle. Like you said, there could be enough change. I just, this is where you and I kind of differ. I think the light's dimming.
See, though,
and you
I think
it's
the
getting
light,
brighter.
I actually think the light's, I think the light's kind of always been the same. I think so. That dim light has always existed. There's always been, I think maybe there's been times where the light shined a little brighter and maybe been a little darker. But I think the light has always existed and always been there. And the reason why is I think different points throughout history, people would always say, oh man, it's really getting dark during this time, right? But then there's that glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel that brings perseverance.
Okay, so you're saying maybe my problem is I'm too zoomed in.
Yes.
In time, and so I'm not noticing that the star's twinkling.
Yes.
And so you're calling it more of a twinkle,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to me going, oh no, look, it's going out. You're like, no, I'll give it a second. It's going to twinkle. It's going to come back up.
Yes.
It's a twinkle, twinkle little star.
That's right. That's right.
I do like, I like your imagery. I like what you're saying, and I hope it's true. I really do. I would love to be wrong, but you know, the good book, man, I can't escape it. You know, you know what it does say in Revelation? It says that the Antichrist takes over the world and the devil ultimately gets his way for a little short period, but who saves the day? America. America comes in with their big flag and her scales of blindness and administers justice for all. No, it doesn't say that.
The bald eagle.
Yeah.
The bald eagle
and her stripes and her stars and saves the day. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, I don't think so. It doesn't say that. And that's the hard thing. even in church, we're the good guys, man. America, we're the good guys, are we? There's some goodness about us. Again, we're the best nation in the world.
Right. As a whole, though, I think
we're the nicest criminals in the prison.
Well, here's the thing. Now, but just because we're partaking in a system doesn't mean everyone is knowingly partaking in a system.
Oh, yeah.
So that doesn't make you a if you have a regime over your nation that's causing chaos around the world and you're being brought into it unknowingly, that doesn't make you a bad person any more than it would for any other nation with the same issue, right?
All I'm saying is that, and I see your point.
Hold on before you go on. That's always my biggest issue of any of these war conflicts where I think you and I always go back and forth. And I said, well, all of the people who live in, let's just say Palestine, they're not spoken for by a terrorist regime that runs Palestine, or the same thing for Israel. If there is a corrupt hierarchy on top of Israel, that doesn't speak for all of the people who live within Israel. And that's the same with our nation. So how do we just justify murdering people? I don't care who they are. How do we just justify? Well, we got to do it by any means necessary. I just can't go along with that, because that would be no different than if somebody decided that about us.
I think it's easier for Christians than it is for those who don't have this construct to understand what you just described. There is a council that sits on all the nations of the world, and that council ultimately answers to the evil one. For a time, he is going to have his moment to reign. His throne is being built. And it's in chaos. It's steeped in murder and lies and corruption and pyramid schemes, all of it. And for what I'm trying to say is, on top of all of that, what I never can escape, there is no exception. There's as you read Revelation, it says all the world leaders, all the nations of the earth in that time will join in with the evil one and give their power to him. That includes, if America's here, us.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's the hard part, is that we're not going to be the nation that holds back the tide and says, okay, we're going to be the policeman of the world and make sure that justice and peace and righteousness reigns.
But that also doesn't mean that time has to be right now.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Because we could still be that.
Yeah, no. I have no idea when all this is going to happen. I have no idea.
How much do you think we play a part? Because not saying it's not going to happen. I'm saying that we may have the free will ability.
I don't even
know
how we're going to do this in a podcast, but I just sent this to a friend, and we were talking about the nutty time that we live in. You know, just from the one you referenced, the rumors of war, which, by the way, Jesus said that's going to be like the birth pangs, you know, all the natural disasters and the rumors of war, and these things must come, but that's not the end.
Easy on that natural disaster term though, nowadays.
Okay, watch this though. And this is what I said. Even if it's man-made, it's still natural.
Well, how's it natural?
Because we're terrestrial beings here. We're supposed to be here. It's as natural as war. Think about it for a second.
Is war really natural?
Think about it. But that's part of what is described, right? So is it natural for a man and a woman to come together and have a child? It's part of the creative order.
Well, yes, but that you produce a result. So yes, I would say that's natural.
I mean, define what's unnatural.
What's unnatural is that you're using abilities beyond yourself. You don't have the ability to manipulate the weather as a human being, unless using technologies created to manipulate the weather. You have the ability to procreate as a human being.
How long has man been using disease as a weapon? How long has man been using famine as a weapon? How long has man been using weather as a weapon? I think what I'm trying to say is...
A long time to all of them, by the way.
It is. Is that it dawned on me this morning. We think in our mind, because again, of our upbringing, and we hear mother nature, there is no mother nature. There's God made it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're ultimately doing is taking away from God and giving it to something else. Gaia, Mother Earth. No, thank you. These people who were given visions of what ushered in the end, when they said natural disasters, those kind of things like earthquakes and famines and war, they're not telling you necessarily what caused it. They're telling you what was. And in our mind, we think, well, what causes earthquakes? Mother Nature.
Yeah, no, I can buy that.
Right. And so we try and write off the famine because man caused it. We try and write off the earthquake because...
Yeah, just because it's being allowed to happen doesn't mean necessarily that God's causing it.
We have people in different religions that are doing things in their own religion for the sole purpose to bring in the end.
I was just going to say that. Just because there are doomsday, right. Like, what would you even call that? Bring abouters? Like, there are literally people attempting currently to bring about the end times.
Yeah, they're trying to create so much chaos, death, and destruction that it ushers in the
end times.
Well, their leader, like, it's supposed to bring in their Messiah.
So if they believe they have the willpower to actually do that, therefore, don't we believe we have the willpower to say, no, y'all ain't going to do that?
We know that God's the one that caused the flood in Genesis 6. We know that he caused it.
And then he said, I'll never do it again.
He did, but he said, next time I'll do it with fire. So watch this. But what caused God to bring the flood?
The depravity of man.
The choice of mankind to misuse the freedom he had been given, where his thoughts were evil continually. And so what you just said was, we can usher it in. We can become so evil and so corrupt that we cause God to say no more.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it before in Genesis 6. And if you read Revelation, we will do it again. We're going to do it again.
But that doesn't mean that
doesn't mean it's today.
Or that we, excuse me, that doesn't mean that we has to be us.
Yeah, you and I may or may not. It just
means we as a species people will do that again.
Yeah, in God's created order. And that's why I say we're part of that natural order in the things that we do. Just like a wolf killing a chicken is natural, right? That's natural.
Yeah.
We'd say
that's the hunter.
Right. Quote unquote.
Eating the hunted.
Well, and you could say because of the fall of man and the evil that the propensity toward evil that we all have, it's natural for us to do the horrible things that we do. In fact, so much so, God has come back in and restored things to its original. He's trying to, in us, through Christians in the church, to reinstate a glimmer of that, there's your twinkle, of what one day will be in heaven. And we're not of the natural, we're of the spiritual. Yeah. And so we're people who don't live by our flesh and our natural desires.
Desire.
Yes. Right. But by...
No, that doesn't mean they don't creep in.
Sure.
It just means we don't choose to live by them.
And be dominated by it. Yeah, we're surrendering to the Holy Spirit who is bringing us into the light, not in... from the darkness as opposed to into the darkness away from the light. Yeah. So
you just got some hope.
That's it. Well, now I've always got hope. I just don't have hope for man.
Oh. All right.
I'll say it this way. Not on this side of eternity. I don't think that.
Ultimately, you can't have hope for man on this side of eternity as a species once again, right? Because we know inevitably what is going to happen at some point. But I have hope for man in that every one of our thoughts at this point in time is currently not evil. There are plenty of people who are not evil people and haven't been totally given over to evil. So my point is we still have the willpower to say, no, we're not doing that. We're not bringing about so much chaos and destruction and so much evil that God decides that's it. We can turn away from that, do better, bring about real change that I think brings us back to a golden age.
Well, I think what you're saying is there's many examples in history, in the Bible, where the people repented. There was a revival and God gave a reprieve, right?
So I don't think God wants to destroy what he's created, personally. That's my belief. I don't believe God sets out to hate his creation. I think God loves his creation, but I also think we've been told over and over again, he is a just God and he is going to punish his creation when it's deserved.
I don't think I have the capacity to understand. I am so finite in my...
But we do in a way. Do you set out to destroy your children?
Well, watch this though. I was trying to give a preface here. I see what you're saying, but God is so infinite in his knowledge. He can't have a new idea, first and foremost. And there's nothing that man has done that he was surprised by. He knew before he created it what man would do. And he's the one that ultimately is ordering everything. So we have free will choice, but he's established the parameters of what can ever possibly be. Okay, so ultimately, you can't completely remove and isolate God from outcome. Again, I'm a finite being, so I can't wrap my mind around this.
What do you mean by remove or isolate from
outcome? He is sovereign in his plan, and we are part of that plan. I mean, to the extent that there are some people who's they were put here to do what they did, and it wasn't good for the sole purpose that ultimately that he would reveal his hand to his people, that they would see his power and be able to experience his grace and his mercy. The illustration would be Pharaoh. God says, I raised Pharaoh up. I raised him up to be the oppressor that he was, that I could demonstrate my power, not only to my people, but to the entire world. The man was built for destruction.
Hmm.
That's what I'm saying is that.
But do you think that means he didn't love him?
That's not, I don't. Okay. What's so hard about the question you just asked is we can't even agree on what a woman is, let alone what love is. You know what I mean? Like, we all define things in different ways. Like freedom, what is freedom and what's it for? We struggle to understand what things actually mean, let alone what God says they mean.
Yeah.
And we're at a war even with him about definitions.
That's fair.
That's why I'm saying it's just so hard because, you know, it's like arguing with a two-year-old and we're the two-year-old. Does that make sense? Like, I don't have a high view of man. I have a high view of God though.
Well,
and I trust him. I don't trust man. Yeah, I don't trust man. I think man has shown me over and over and over again, while he is capable of doing good things, he is more likely to continue doing evil.
Well, how much I think the trust in man at this point comes from a, do you have the Holy Spirit in you? So once again, I guess really then you're not trusting man.
No, what you're doing is you're saying, look,
I can trust in that you're of the Holy Spirit. What I can trust in.
I can trust that there is a greater chance you will choose to do the right thing because you have chosen to surrender to the Holy Spirit.
Yes, that does not mean you will do the right thing.
Right,
but
right.
I can trust that there's a greater chance you're gonna.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The odds are not, even then you can't say they're in your favor, but you have an inclination and a desire and a want to do the right thing.
And I automatically know that you're responsible for what you know and what you claim. So if you tell me that you're a spiritual person, you're of the Holy Spirit, and you make that decision, that's totally on you. And in my opinion, I know that, like, God's going to deal with that.
Yeah.
That's how that goes for all of us. And that doesn't mean I haven't done the same thing and made the wrong decision and been dealt with myself. It's just that too much is given, much is received, right? Much is given, much is expected. So if you claim to know better, then you're going to be accountable to know better.
King David said it this way, you know, don't put your faith and your hope and your trust in horses and chariots, not in swords and shields, right? Not in your army, mm-hmm. not in your money, Solomon. None of these things in the end are trustworthy. No matter what you accumulate, how much power you amass, it's fleeting. But the only one who truly can be trusted is the one that's always been there and always, he never changes, has always been consistent. And listen, he tells us from the beginning how it will end. And I trust him as much, again, as I love where I was born. I love the people around me. I love the church that I'm in. I love a lot of people. And I see a lot of good things happening. And I hope you're right. I hope it's a twinkle. But I see, just as I see freedom in this country fading, I see goodness in this earth the same. It's fading. It's a fading light.
It's always darkest before the dawn. Don't forget that.
That's true.
Don't forget that.
That's true.
This has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here. And hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, Please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
We're walking past the signs each day. In little things missed along the way, the symbols hidden in glamour's light, blindly obvious, but out of sight. Misdirection, the magician's lie, a trick so good you don't ask why. The truth, it sits with open arms, but we fool ourselves with deception's charm. Blindly back to